Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Locked On Grizzlies here for this Friday. Lots to discuss as we approach a big weekend for the Grizzlies. The preseason finale is tonight down at FedEx Forum as the Grizzlies take on the Pelicans, the team they will open up against in just 5 days' time. Kind of weird that, you know, that's the way that the schedule played out, but that's the way it's going to be. And one Pelican, former Grizzly, Tony Allen, very much in the news. We're going to talk about that here in just a moment. Also, more on the preseason game from Wednesday as the Grizzlies lost to the Houston Rockets, and some goods, some bads, and some uglies, some real ugly. As we talk about the roster spot situation, I asked you out there what you thought about who should be cut, and very interesting. Over 500 of you responded to me and gave me some interesting information. So we're going to get to your thoughts on all of that coming up as well. My name is Peter Edmiston, and I appreciate you joining me here on Locked On Grizzlies, presented today by our friends at SeatGeek and Outdoors Inc. Of course, SeatGeek is the spot for you. If you are looking for tickets for any kind of show, event, whatever it may be, SeatGeek has got you covered, and it is so, so easy. Here's how it works. You just simply download the SeatGeek app to your phone or to your device, whatever it may be. Android, iPhone, doesn't matter. It's free. Download it and start looking. Look for the event that you want to see. And I've done this lots of times, and it's super simple. You find the event. You've got a seating chart right there with the venue. It's all laid out. And it couldn't be simpler because it's color-coded. So if you see tickets out there, because they scour the entire, you know, breadth of the ticket buying sites out there, all the exchange sites, all that stuff, so that you know what the market looks like. They have that proprietary software that allows them, and the algorithm that they use allows them to look across all of it so you don't have to, and you know that you're getting a fair, good price guaranteed. When you see that green circle, that means it's a great price. That means it's one you got to jump on because that's better than market value. If you see it's a different color, if it's yellow, if it's red, then yeah, maybe not quite as good of a deal, but it's still out there for you. All of that guaranteed, it's super easy. And here's something that's even easier. Use the promo code LONBA when you download that SeatGeek app. And when you make your first SeatGeek purchase, you'll get $20 back after you make that first SeatGeek purchase. Again, the promo code is LONBA. It'll be on that settings tab. As you use the app, enter that promo code where it says to LONBA. That'll save you $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. It is SeatGeek. Check it out. Get the app. Android, iOS, you name it. SeatGeek can get it done for you. Well, the Grizzlies, as we mentioned, lose on Wednesday night, preseason-wise, to the Houston Rockets in the penultimate preseason game. We'll talk about that in a second. But first, I want to give a shout-out. Props to Tony Allen, who, of course, back in town tonight with the Pelicans. The big reunion will be coming up on Wednesday in the regular season opener. But he is back and receiving a great honor as he joined Zach Randolph in having his number retired by the Grizzlies. Number 9 will be up in the rafters. It will never be worn again. And along with 50, and there are some people out there, I think, you know, perhaps the further away you get from Memphis, the harder it is for you to understand what really happened and how special it was. But anyone that would have any kind of criticism of the Grizzlies retiring those numbers doesn't understand the market, doesn't understand the Grizzlies, doesn't understand what those guys meant to the team. I mean, man, you know, Tony Allen is grit and grind. I think that the Grizzlies are, you know, as an organization, they're trying to cling to grit and grind now that he's gone. And he's that was Tony Allen. That was Zach Randolph. That was that group. That was grit and grind. What they are now is not grit and grind. And they can claim that if they want to. It's not the case. The fans know that. That was a very special era. And it doesn't matter. Some people are bitching about how, oh, they didn't win. Why are you retiring? I mean, people that think that way, that's so ridiculous. First of all, look around the rest of the league and look at some of the numbers that are retired. And you tell me how many of those people actually won titles. Jersey retirements and numbers being retired is such an individual thing for each franchise. It has nothing to do with winning championships. And again, I would encourage you, go and look at the list. Truly look at the list, because I have, of all the numbers that are retired from each team, and it will blow your mind how few of the names you actually know. There's a lot of guys on there that you will not know their names, but they are big parts of franchises from decades past, and their numbers up, and that's cool. This was an incredible era of Grizzly basketball, an incredible era, the most incredible era of Grizzly basketball to date. And you know, will it ever be like that again? You certainly hope so, but there's no guarantees. You know, you make the playoffs 7 straight years, you get to the Western Conference Finals, you, more importantly, truly cement the legacy of the team in Memphis. You know, the team moved to Memphis, it was in the pyramid, it was a great, you know, incredible honeymoon period, just because it was so, frankly, bizarre. If for someone like me growing up a Memphian, to have a team in Memphis, an NBA team, it's like, what? Really? But the team wasn't very good. And, you know, they made the playoffs eventually, that last year in the pyramid, and then transitioned over to FedEx Forum. But they didn't win a game. I mean, they made the playoffs 3 straight years and lost in a sweep each time, 0-12, to start their playoff run. So it wasn't until the Grit and Grind group that they actually, you know, won their first playoff game, won their first playoff series, made the run. All of that stuff, the incredible series with the Thunder, even though, you know, it was a series loss, initially had that triple overtime game, had, you know, some remarkable performances. You know, the series with the Clippers, that incredible game 6 that I will never forget, with the atmosphere just raging and going crazy. The Mike Conley broken face game, all the stuff that comes along with this, and then all the indelible memories that Tony Allen provided as part of that, the steals, the bizarre plays, good and bad, the walking around, wandering around, the incredible quotes, all that stuff, man. And he was truly, just like Zach Randolph in so many ways, he embodied what the city is all about: hard work, overcoming the odds, having an attitude, you know, getting after it. People love him. And I mean, he's like I said, you know, when he signed with the Pelicans, it's just so strange, because he really made himself into the fabric of this team, this city, the whole thing. And seeing him in a different uniform is going to be bizarre. It's going to be weird. It's already weird. You know, I was in the locker room the other night, and not having him and Zach there is strange. You know, it's a brand new locker room in so many ways. I mean, it's literally a brand new locker room for the Grizzlies. It looks incredible, but it's brand new in the sense that those guys aren't there, and it's weird. The feeling is weird. It's just, it's a little bit different. So, you know, Tony Allen is forever a part of that historic group and deserves the commendation that he receives. He's the guy, man. I will never forget all of the stuff, from throwing the towel on the court to, you know, his lockdown defense, to that performance in Oklahoma City, the way that he could single-handedly be a whirling dervish, a force unto himself, and totally change the feeling around a game defensively. Could lock down Durant, could lock down Chris Paul, could lock down, you know, guys of all shapes and sizes. Had that dog in him. He just was awesome, man. And you know, time being what it is, circumstances being what they are, you had to move on. It was the right thing to do. But that doesn't mean you don't appreciate what happened. It doesn't mean you don't appreciate what he gave, and what Zach gave, and what all those guys gave as part of that group. It's so special. And so, yes, absolutely, his number deserves to be all those guys. You know, Mike and Mark obviously will join them at some point in the rafters as well. That is an incredible group. And, you know, Lionel Hollins, he needs to be, you know, part of that as well. It was very special. It was very, very special. And it may never be like that again. Who knows? But that thing, it was real. It was awesome. And kudos to Tony Allen. So I wanted to start the pod with that discussion, because it was a really special thing. And I give the Grizzlies credit for doing it. That was the right thing for them to do with Zach. It was the right thing for them to do with Tony. And well done to them. Well done to them also for honoring Hubie Brown. He had part of the hall in the back of FedEx Forum named for him, Hubie's Hall, and a ceremony with David Fizdale and Lionel Hollins. And it was cool. It's neat that they've done that. And you know, Hubie was in so many ways a difference maker and a professor that, like, you know, the kindly old man who knows everything about everything. And you know, it was so surreal when he arrived, because I remember, you know, getting the call that it was going to be him, and was like, are you serious? Because he'd been in TV for what, a decade? I mean, he hadn't coached in a long time. And I thought it was just a joke. And then I thought it was just a total gimmick. And the man came in and was awesome. It was awesome. And I appreciate that they've continued to honor him. They need to honor Mike Heisley next. Yeah, there is a woeful lack of Mike Heisley stuff, of Mike Heisley acknowledgement. For whatever reason, there seems to be an unwillingness to do that, I guess. I don't know, but you just don't see much. And he was the guy that brought the team here. He was the guy that, you know, bankrolled a lot of that. They paid they paid luxury tax. The Grizzlies have been a taxpayer before. It has happened. So, you know, I know time moves on, but it's been 5 years since the purchase, but honor the guy. So that's the next thing that needs to be done from this team's perspective. Now on the court, we'll talk about you know, what happened in that Houston game and where things stand now with regard to the roster situation and the battles that are being fought in camp. But first, I'll tell you about camp. Speaking of camp, maybe you go camping. Maybe you're going camping this weekend. Maybe you are going to do that. Well, Outdoors Inc. has got you covered. Outdoors Inc. is the spot that's been outfitting human-powered recreation since 1974. And that means what you do outside, they can help you with. And it's really cool. It's really cool to deal with them. They are awesome people. They love doing the stuff that you love to do, you know, whatever it may be. If you love to kayak, you love to canoe, you love to ride your bike, you love to do some climbing, you love to do some hiking, you know, you like to just go to the beach and hang out. They love it too. There are people there that do all of that stuff and more, and can walk you through the finest in name brands, great pricing. All of that stuff is there for you at their five great Memphis area locations, and especially for the listeners here to the pod. Online at OutdoorsInc.com, use the promo code LOGrizzlies. Use that promo code LOGrizzlies, and that will save you 10% off of your entire cart. Yeah, 10% off of your entire cart if you use the promo code LOGrizzlies. Check it out, OutdoorsInc.com and Outdoors Inc. here in the Memphis area. They have been doing it since 1974. They can help you, the greatest in name brands, the greatest in stuff that you need to have fun outside. Let them take care of you and let them make you look good too, because they got great outerwear, got great gear on top of all of that. It is Outdoors Inc. and OutdoorsInc.com. Again, use that promo code LOGrizzlies. So the Grizzlies lost to Houston. The outcome, as I always tell you, you know, it doesn't matter. It's preseason. But the game itself, I thought was interesting. The Grizzlies are definitely way ahead offensively, they're way ahead defensively as opposed to offensively. And in fact, you know, both Mike Conley and Marc Gasol told me that they've only installed one set really on offense, one true set. And they've had one side out of bounds play and one baseline out of bounds play. And that's it. That's all they've got offensively. They've spent so much time drilling in on the fundamentals of the defense that they want to run, and they've really been focused in on that because it is totally different. There's nothing left. Marc Gasol told me there's nothing left from grit and grind. from, you know, the last few years is just there's nothing left offensively or defensively. It's a totally different set of plays. It's a totally different, you know, deal. Everything, the fundamentals of it are different. The structures are different. The calls are different. All the stuff, the rules, the things that you do, all of it is different. So it's tough for, you know, everyone to learn. And defensively, they still, in spite of all the, you know, the hype and, you know, space and pace and whatever, they still want to hang their hat on the defensive end. They still want to be a defensive-minded team. That's still what they want to do. And so in doing that, you have to get the details. You have to nail down the fundamentals. And that's what they've been doing. So it's kind of left them a little bit behind offensively. You could tell. They don't look as crisp on the offensive end. There are some moments, there's some things that you like, but certainly the outside shooting continues to be a problem. They are shooting 19% from three in this preseason, 20 of 105. You know, that is a problem. And you can say what you want about it, and you know, it's preseason and guys don't shoot as well, and that's true. I mean, there's definitely that, but you know, the Grizzlies, to a man, and including David Fizdale, all say they're getting good looks. They like the looks they're getting. But to me, that's more worrisome, because if you like the looks you're getting and you're still shooting 20 of 105, then what the hell's going on? I'd rather hear you say, we got some crap-tacular looks, and that's why we're shooting the ball so terribly. If you like the looks, then you'd like to make the shots. So that is that's a little alarming. But it is preseason. I hesitate to go too far with that discussion. It is problematic. I thought the guys that needed to look good looked pretty good. You know, you know what you're going to get from Mike and Mark. That's fine. You're starting to see the rotations come into play. I asked David Fizdale about that prior to the game, and he said that he wanted to extend some minutes and show, you know, start to hammer down some lineups that he likes. But bear in mind, too, that Fizdale likes to look at pairs and threes and even fours, not just five-man lineups. He looks, and he's a big lineup guy, and some coaches are bigger on that than others. He really does like to look at those things, and he likes to see how guys play in those groups together. So you've seen that throughout preseason, and that continued on Wednesday night with some of the units. I think, as we talked about, you can pretty much drill down the starting lineup now, as far as I'm concerned, assuming Wayne Seldon plays tonight. He's supposed to. He's had a little minor quad injury that's kept him out of the last two preseason games. It's not thought to be especially serious. So he is – I'm not going to say – I mean, honestly, I don't know, because you never know with – preseason games, but I would expect that he's got a pretty good chance to play tonight. But assuming he's healthy, to me, it's going to be Mike Conley and Seldon, James Ennis, Jermichael Green, Marc Gasol. That's going to be your starting five. And we saw a lot of those guys playing, you know, decent minutes together on Wednesday. Then that second unit starting to coalesce with Mario Chalmers, with Tyreke Evans, who you saw some good and some bad. And you see the thing that he's going to give you. He's got a lot of that Lance Stephenson thing where, you know, being ball dominant, sometimes he can have great moments and just look awesome, drive the basketball, finish with power, you know, set up guys, do a lot of cool things. But then there's also the times when he ignores teammates and when he throws the ball into the third row, and when he, you know, misplays situations and ignores guys, and that's all part of the package. He is kind of a rich man's Lance Stephenson in that regard. So you have to take the good with the bad. But he's out there. Chalmers is out there. You're going to see Chandler Parsons with that group and Brandon Wright. That's going to be and then I guess alongside of them probably whoever ends up, you know, whether that's McLemore or eventually Seldon. You'll see them in that mix. Maybe one of the other guys, like Andrew Harrison, if he makes the team, you know, could see a little bit of time in that group as well. I think that's probably what you're looking at. But those are the nine guys that are going to get the bulk of the time. And you know, the rest of the roster spots, you'll see guys move in and out, I think, as needed. But those are that's going to be probably the bulk of your rotation right there. And obviously, notable there is Chandler Parsons off the bench. But it's amazing how over the course of 3 weeks or whatever it's been since Media Day, the discussion around Chandler Parsons has quickly turned. And, you know, the idea a month ago was, well, Chandler Parsons could be healthy and be part of the, you know, this team, sky's the limit. Well, that has subsided now to, I think, coming to the grim reality that, you know what, Chandler Parsons is pretty much healthy and he's still not very good and he's still not giving you much, if anything, when he's on the floor. That is where we are at. It is not about being healthy at this point to me. It is not about anything other than he's just not giving you much of anything. I talked to several scouts over the last few days, and you know, a couple of them notably were extremely outspoken about Parsons to the point where they said he's got nothing left to give. That may be a little harsh, but I don't think it's that far off. If you watch the guy play, and I'm sure listening to this podcast, you have watched, you've seen, he's just out there, man. He's just out there. He's not providing anything. He's not giving you, any shooting. He's not giving you any playmaking. He's not really touching the ball very much. He's just out there and running back and forth as best he can. There's not, you know, physically much spark left. He doesn't have a lot of confidence, understandably so, because of how tough it has been. You know, physically he looks shot. And I said it on Twitter and I'll repeat it. I just, if you take salaries out of the mix, I don't think he'd make the 15-man roster. I think he'd be cut. If it was a non-guaranteed situation or if you could somehow get out of that money, I think he wouldn't make the roster. I think because, you know, that the spot that you're looking for him in that backup four, you know, he's taking minutes away from Deontay Davis. He's taking minutes away from potentially, you know, if you think Jarrell Martin is going to, you know, make the team and develop, you're taking minutes away from him. You're taking minutes away from Ivan Rabb. These are all young guys, and the Grizzlies are in more of a retooling mode. You know, they are not out and out rebuilding. You can't possibly do that when you've got Mike and Mark on this team, but you are retooling. You are becoming young. They've gone from one of the oldest teams in the league to now seventh youngest team in the league, doing that on the fly. And, you know, Parsons is on the older side of that particular group, and he's not giving you anything. He's not offering you anything on the court. So that's why, to me, if you could get out of the salary, you would cut him, because you're kind of looking to go young, and he's not part of that. And he's and he's just, you know, his role, again, unless, you know, things improve pretty dramatically, he's got to get a lot further along. You're going to see I think his role will diminish even more from a backup four to, you know, maybe not playing. Because I think, you know, he was out there the other night, and you forget he's even out there. He's not giving you anything. So it's sad, because I really think he's trying his best. It's not a lack of effort. I just think his body won't let him. And, you know, I think the odds are at this point now that Dylan Brooks is going to be a more impactful player for the Grizzlies in this upcoming season than Chandler Parsons. That really puts you in a bind. That's a compliment to Brooks, by the way, but it's also an acknowledgement of how wrong things have gone already in the plan for the Grizzlies, because, you know, Parsons was thought to be the third best player. That was the goal, that he would be your third best guy, but now you don't know who that third best guy is, and you're seeing him get eclipsed at that position by Dylan Brooks, who Fizdale likes, and I would be surprised if you don't see him out there on opening night playing, you know, 10 minutes or so. I think the coaching staff trusts him. They trust that he will run the stuff that they want him to run. He works hard. He looks like an NBA player. He defends very well, particularly for a rookie. He's got the stones to go ahead and take some shots. Yeah, he's got a lot of self-belief. All that stuff. He looks the part. He looks like he belongs out there, and that's a huge step for a second-round guy to just look that comfortable already. You know, a lot of rookies go a long way that were, you know, first-round guys, and a lot of them don't come out of the gate looking as comfortable as Dylan Brooks looks. I mean, hell, Wade Baldwin still doesn't look as comfortable as Dylan Brooks looks out there. He's an NBA player, and he's going to play, and I think he's going to play right out of the gate. Speaking of Baldwin, that brings me to the other, well, you know, before we do that, I'll one other thing. I really like the guy, but Roddy Zagorodz is a million miles away from looking like an NBA player. He looks like he will play a significant amount of time in South Haven and is still, you know, to use the old phrase that they used for Bruno Caboclo back in the day, he's 2 years away from being 2 years away. Roddy's got a long way to go to look comfortable with NBA athleticism and the speed of the game. He doesn't look like it's there for him. The Grizzlies, I think, were concerned about, you know, that if they didn't sign him this offseason, that he would sign a multi-year deal and they wouldn't be able to get to him for a while. But if you look at his performance, that would probably be okay based on what we've seen thus far, that would probably have helped him in terms of his development. Because it's going to be a shame that you're going to have to cut a guy based on this contract that you gave to Roddy. And Roddy has got very little chance to me of being much of an impact player for the Grizzlies this year. I think he will be spending the majority of his time with the Hustle. So that brings me to the cut portion of the program. And that is still very much the big discussion behind the scenes. That's still very much the chatter that, you know, what's going to happen. You know, how is this thing going to play out? And I asked you guys, 519 of you voted, and I said, select the one player that you absolutely think the Grizzlies should cut or trade and somehow get rid of, because they've got to get rid of two. And I'm pre-cutting Durant Scott here, so I'm, you know, just assume he's cut. Then they still need two more after him, and that's when you get into the tough ones. So I said, take into account age, role, positional need, all of it. Who's the one player you think the Grizzlies should cut or trade? And 50% of you said Wade Baldwin. Wade Baldwin, far and away the winner in the poll. Second, Andrew Harrison at 24%. Third, Jarrell Martin at 18%. And 8% of you said other. I would say most of the others were either Chandler Parsons or Roddy Zagorodz. Interesting that so many people said Wade Baldwin. And you know, it is not gone well for Wade. After really the first preseason game, it has been downhill from there. A few of you guys said Deontay Davis, and it was interesting that he didn't play in Wednesday night's game. I asked Fizdale about it, and he said, well, you know, he wanted to take a look at some stuff. But to me, it's still odd that you wouldn't play Deontay Davis, that he's such a young guy. He needs to play games. He needs to get out there and to perform. It's odd that he wouldn't be in that mix. To me, that's a little bit of a red flag. It's odd. But yeah, a lot of people said Chandler Parsons. I think of those, I have to go through and do an official count, because I got lots of replies from you guys on this. But it looked to me as though Parsons was the next guy. They're not cutting Parsons. I mean, again, the money makes it a non-starter. I mean, they still owe him, you know, the better part of $70 million on this contract that they would have to pay. You know, they could stretch him, but that would just, you know, extend that out and, you know, lessen the blow on a year-by-year basis, but extend it to more years. That's a non-starter because of his contract. If you took the contract out of it, I think absolutely he'd be very much on the chopping block, but you can't take that contract out of it. So, you know, he was probably the next guy. Then it was Rade. Then it was Deontay Davis. And, yeah, there were a few others here and there. But, yeah, Jarrell Martin was third, which I'm surprised to see. But he has had a good preseason, and people have taken note of that. Baldwin being 50% was shocking to me that many of you were that down on Wade Baldwin. But the truth is, you are good judges of what's going on, because he does not look ready to provide much in the way of an NBA type point guard play. And he certainly can't play off guard because he can't shoot. And yeah, they overhauled his shot last year, which did not seem to do much. He still has the same issues that we've talked about, and it's a political thing with him. I mean, because Andrew Harrison, first of all, you know, I tweeted it out there, but defensively, the defensive numbers in preseason with him on the court are excellent. The team is extremely good with him out there defensively. That's no small thing for this group, that even though they are not grit and grind in that sense, they still are a team that really does value defense. And all those guys, particularly, you know, Mark, and they all value what you do defensively. And so when Harrison can come in and can be that guy, and his size helps you to defend multiple positions, and he's so comfortable, that means a lot. That matters a great deal. And after Wednesday night's game, teams that are playing the Grizzlies have an offensive rating of 77.1 when Andrew Harrison is on the floor. And, you know, so that is, you know, to me a sign of just how good, you know, he is defensively. He really helps to glue that thing together. Offensively, yeah, he's still, you know, the shot is never going to be super consistent. He's never going to be a great shooter. But at least he was 3 of 6 from three the other night. He can get hot and he can give you something. To me, there's no question that if you're just talking strictly current NBA value, Andrew Harrison is the better player over Wade Baldwin. But as we talked about, you know, earlier in the week, it's a political thing, and it's about Baldwin's role, and it's about the perceived growth that he has. Now, does he actually have that growth? I don't know. I'm beginning to wonder whether he does or not, you know, because it is, you know, he's just not showing development. He's not showing that. And if you have enough of these spots where you keep a less talented or at least a less effective player over a better player because of the political nature of it, or because of the draft pick status or whatever, you do that enough times, you end up with a roster that is, you know, significantly less talented than it could be based on those decisions. You that's not a good sustainable method of doing business. So, you know, that may not matter, but it's definitely worth thinking about. And, you know, they may cut Wade Baldwin. That is within the realm of possibility. Andrew Harrison has a lot of fans in that locker room and in the coaching staff. You know, the front office, that may be a little bit different, but they are scrambling and trying to figure out some way to do one of those trades. And I think that's ultimately what's probably going to happen with at least one of those guys, whether it's Baldwin or Martin or whoever. You know, that they're scrambling around to try to find those trades. And, you know, it would probably end up being like one of those sham second round picks and a, you know, an extend, like a trade exception or something like that. You know, where you're not getting anything for them, but at least you're getting off the money. I do think they can probably make one of those work somewhere around the league, but to at least avoid one of the cuts. but they probably can't avoid both. And, you know, if you're asking me today, I'm still leaning towards Jarrell and Andrew Harrison being cut, but only out of the politics. And it would not be popular in that Grizzly locker room, I could tell you. You know, it would not be popular, especially the Harrison one. But, you know, those guys, the coaching staff, it's not always up to them to make that call. It has to be done by Monday. Whatever happens by Monday, they're going to have to get down to the 15-man roster. And, of course, you have the two ways, Kobe and Vince Hunter. So those guys will be two ways no matter what. So a lot to think about, a lot to discuss. I hope you enjoyed it here on the pod. We'll do it again as we talk about, well, those cuts that are forthcoming. And we start to get you set for the actual regular season, which it does start next week. It's incredible. It's kind of snuck up on us, but here we go. It is that time. So we are going to really be ramping it up. Thank you, as always, for joining me on the pod. Thanks to Outdoors Inc. Thanks to SeatGeek. Thanks to you guys, especially, for making this a part of your day. If you like it, please download, subscribe, and rate. It really does mean a lot, and I appreciate that from each and every one of you. Thanks to everybody on the Locked On Podcast Network. We continue to grow and do some great things. Get in touch with me on Twitter. I am at Peter Edmiston. This is where you will find the best Grizzlies coverage. I'm there talking to everyone all the time. So we're keeping you right there in the middle of all of the action. You'll hear from everybody over the course of the season. So hit that subscribe button, and we will have a lot more to offer for you coming up as the season gets underway next week. Have a great weekend, everybody. I hope you enjoyed being Locked On Grizzlies.